What if I told you that the most powerful environmental movement happening right now didn't start in a corporate boardroom, didn't require millions in funding, and doesn't demand you to change your entire lifestyle? What if I told you it started with a question asked to people most of us never see? And the answer was something so simple, so obvious, that it's almost embarrassing that we hadn't thought of it before. Here's the question. How can this city support you? And here's the answer that changed everything. Please don't throw away containers with food still in them. That's it. That was the spark. And from that single, honest request from the waste pickers of Bangalore, India, emerged a campaign so effective, so beautifully simple, that it won what the New York Times has called the internet's highest honor. Today, I want to tell you the story of how rinsing a plastic food box, a dabba, as it's called in India, is restoring dignity to thousands of workers, keeping tons of plastic out of landfills, and proving that the most profound changes often come from the quietest voices. This is the story of hashtag wash the dabba. And I promise you, by the end of this episode, you'll never look at a takeout container the same way again.
You're listening to Nelson John 360.
Nelson John 360.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Nelson John 360. I'm your host, Nelson John. All right, let's set the scene for today's episode. Bangalore is India's tech capital. We all know that. It's a city of over 12 million people, home to global tech giants, thriving startups, and one of the fastest growing urban populations on the planet. And like any modern metropolis, it runs on convenience. After a long day, whether you're a software engineer, a student, or a small business owner, the appeal of ordering food online is undeniable. A few taps on your phone, and within 30 minutes, a hot meal arrives at your door in a plastic container. You eat, you enjoy, you toss the container in the bin, and then you move on with your life. Right? We've all done that. But here's the question we rarely ask. What happens next? Who handles what we throw away? And what does our convenience cost them? In Bangalore alone, there are approximately 22,500 informal waste pickers. These are the people who sort through the city's garbage, separating recyclables from the rest, keeping the waste management system functioning. They're the reason why plastic bottles become new products. They're the reason why cardboards get a second life. They're the reason the city doesn't drown in its own refuse. And yet, most of us have never thought about them. We've never considered what our discarded food containers mean for their daily lives. Here's the reality. When we throw away a plastic container with leftover food inside, we're not just disposing of trash. We're creating a hazard. These containers sit in collection bins, sometimes for hours, sometimes for days. As we know, the food inside begins to decompose. Gases build up, bacteria multiply, and by the time a waste picker opens that container to sort it, they're greeted with a smell so overwhelming, it can make them physically ill. The gas releases in their face. The rotting food spills on their hands, their clothes, their workspace. And more often than not, they're doing this work without gloves, without masks, without any protective equipment at all. Mary is a waste picker from Artinagar, a suburb in Bangalore. She is featured in one of the campaign videos. And her description of this reality is something that stays with you.
My name is Mary Antar. ನಾನು 67 ವಾರ್ಡಲ್ಲಿ ವೇಸ್ಟ್ ಪಿಕರ್ ಆಗಿ ಕೆಲಸ ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀನಿ. ನಾವು ಪ್ರತಿದಿನ ವೇಸ್ಟ್ ಪಿಕರ್ ಇದು ಡ್ರೈ ತೆಗಿಯುವಾಗ ಡ್ರೈ ಡಿವೈಡ್ ಮಾಡುವಾಗ ಈ ಥರ ಬಾಟ್ಲಿಗೆ ಸಿಗುತ್ತೆ, ಆಪಿಕ್ ಬಾಟ್ಲು ಮತ್ತು ಆಸಿಡ್ ಬಾಟ್ಲು ಸಿಗುತ್ತೆ. ಅದರಲ್ಲಿ ಅರ್ಧ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ದುಡ್ಡು ಬರುತ್ತೆ. ಬಿಟ್ಟು ಬರುವಾಗ ಅದು ಒಂದೊಂದು ಸತಿ ಓಪನ್ ಮಾಡಿ ಕ್ಯಾಪ್ ಓಪನ್ ಬರುತ್ತೆ. ಓಪನ್ ಮಾಡಿ ಹಾಕುವಾಗ ಕೈಗೆ ಚೆಲ್ಲಿ ಇನ್ಫೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಗುತ್ತೆ, ಅದರಿಂದ ನಮಗೆ ತೊಂದರೆ ಆಗುತ್ತೆ, ನಮ್ಗೆ ಆರೋಗ್ಯ ಕೆಟ್ಟೋಗುತ್ತೆ. ನೀವು ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ತೊಳೆದು ಬಿಸಾಕಿದ್ರೆ ಡ್ರೈಯಲ್ಲಿ ಚೆನ್ನಾಗಿರುತ್ತೆ. ಧನ್ಯವಾದಗಳು.
She explains that the food containers arriving at dry waste collection centers often contain rotten food, sometimes even with maggots. The containers bloat from the gas buildup, and when workers have to open them to segregate the waste, the stench hits them directly in the face. The food spills on them and on the floor, making their work significantly harder because they have to clean up the mess before they can even begin the actual sorting process. Think about it for a moment. Every single day, thousands of workers face this reality. Not because the work itself is inherently this difficult, but because of a small thing we do without thinking. We finish our biryani or our pasta, we close the lid and we throw it away with the sauce and the rice and the vegetables still clinging onto the sides. It takes us 2 seconds to toss the container. It takes someone else hours to deal with the consequences. Now, here's where the story takes a turn that I find genuinely inspiring. When the team behind what would become the hashtag WashTheDabba campaign began their work, they didn't start with assumptions. They didn't sit in a conference room brainstorming clever slogans. They did something remarkably simple, something that should be obvious but rarely happens. They asked people, the most affected by the problem, what they actually needed. They went to the waste pickers, the 22,500 informal workers sorting through Bangalore's refuse, and they posed a straightforward question. How can the city support you? The answer wasn't a request for higher wages, though they certainly deserve them. It wasn't a demand for better equipment, though that would help. It wasn't even a call for more recognition, though that was long overdue. The answer was this: please don't dispose of containers with food in them. That's it. That was what they asked for. Not charity, not pity. They were essentially saying, we can do our jobs, we can sort out your waste, we can keep the city's recycling system running, but we need you to meet us halfway. We need you to take 5 seconds out of your day to rinse the container before you throw it away. This is what makes the hashtag WashTheDabba campaign so powerful. The solution didn't come from consultants or marketing geniuses and agencies. It came from the people living the problem every single day. And what they asked for wasn't complicated. It was achievable by anyone, anywhere, at virtually no cost. The campaign created by BBC Media Action was part of its hashtag Invaluables initiative under a collaborative project called Samuhika Shakti, supported by the H&M Foundation, turned this simple request into a 3-step process. Step 1, empty. Put all leftover food in the wet waste bin where it belongs. Step 2, rinse. Quickly wash the plastic container to move food residue. We're not talking about scrubbing it spotless, just a rinse under the tap. Step 3, dry. Let the container dry before placing it in the dry waste bin. That's the entire ask. Empty, rinse, and dry. 3 actions that take maybe 20 seconds total, and the impact of those 20 seconds is profound. Now, what happens when millions of people adopt this simple habit? The effects ripple outward in 3 distinct directions, creating what I think of as a triple win for people, for the planet, and for the economy. Let's start with a simple human impact, because that's really at the heart of the story. When containers arrive at cleaning and sorting centers, waste pickers no longer have to deal with rotting food, foul odors, and the health hazards that come along with them. Their risk of contracting infections and diseases drops significantly. Their working conditions improve dramatically. But beyond the physical benefits, there's something even more important happening here: dignity. Soma Katyar of BBC Media Action India captured this perfectly when she explained the campaign flips the traditional narrative. Instead of positioning waste pickers as recipients of help, it reshapes perceptions and shifts power. It treats them as what they truly are, environmental stewards who deserve respect, not charity. See, when you rinse your container before throwing it away, you're not doing waste pickers a favor. You're recognizing their value. You're acknowledging that your convenience shouldn't come at the cost of someone else's dignity. You're participating in a system as an equal partner, not a careless consumer. Now, let's talk about the environmental impact. Here's something most people don't even realize. When plastic containers are soiled with food, they often cannot be recycled. The contamination makes them unsuitable for recycling process, so they get diverted to landfills instead. All that potentially recyclable plastic, plastic that could become new products, plastic that could be kept out of ecosystems and oceans, ends up buried in the ground where it will persist for hundreds of years. By simply rinsing containers before disposal, we ensure they're clean enough to enter the recycling stream. We prevent tons of plastic from ending up in already overflowing landfills. We keep valuable materials in circulation rather than treating them as garbage. This is the circular economy in action. Not as an abstract concept discussed at sustainability conferences, but as a practical reality achieved through individual behavior change. And that brings us to the economic dimension. When containers are clean, the sorting process becomes dramatically more efficient. Waste pickers can process more material in less time. They can recover more recyclables. Now, that means more income for them and more raw materials returning to the manufacturing cycle. Maria Beisted of the H&M Foundation made a point that I think is crucial to understanding why this matters. Our societies work to decarbonize and build more sustainable systems. We have to ensure that this transition is inclusive and just. We cannot build a green economy on the backs of exploited workers. We can't celebrate environmental progress while ignoring the human cost. The hashtag #WashTheDabba campaign embodies that principle. It improves environmental outcomes while simultaneously improving conditions for the workers at the foundation of the recycling system. That's not just smart policy, it's ethical policy. Of course, having a good idea is one thing. Getting millions of people to actually change their behavior is something else entirely. So, how did the campaign spread? How did it go from a simple request to a citywide movement? The strategy here was brilliantly multi-layered, combining digital creativity with real-world presence. First, they gave food a voice. And I mean that literally. The campaign created social media content featuring leftover idlis and biryani, which is popular South Indian dishes, speaking from inside soiled containers. These animated leftovers lamented their fate, trapped in unwashed boxes, creating a playful but pointed message that was impossible to ignore. Now, there is something about hearing your abandoned lunch guilt-trip you that really lands. Second, they engaged influencers strategically. Rather than relying on traditional advertising, the campaign partnered with local creators like Shraddha Jain and Vani Murthy, who brought authenticity and relatability to the message. The reasoning was sound. Influencer content is perceived as more genuine than paid ads, so more likely to spark meaningful conversations rather than eye rolls. The approach, well, it paid off spectacularly. One campaign reel went viral, accumulating 13 million views. That's not reach. I mean, that's cultural penetration. That's a message breaking through the noise. Third, they didn't limit themselves to phones and screens. The campaign appeared in physical spaces throughout Bangalore, on bus shelters, on digital screens, in 65 apartment complexes and co-working spaces. Most cleverly, they partnered with 36 restaurants to print the message directly on over 130,000 food containers. Yes. The call to action appeared exactly where and when people needed to see it, when they were about to finish their meal and face the decision of what to do with that empty box. But perhaps the most innovative element was that they called the Guess the Smell experience. Oof. Campaign organizers created an immersive demonstration by fermenting food in sealed containers, then inviting residents to experience firsthand what waste pickers encounter daily. Oof. There's something powerful about sensory experiences that statistics simply cannot replicate. You can tell someone that rotting food smells bad, and they'll nod and agree. But when you actually expose them to that smell, when you let them feel that visceral disgust and discomfort, something shifts within. Empathy moves from abstract understanding to lived reality. Now, the proof is in the numbers. Campaigns can generate buzz without generating results. Social media metrics can look impressive while actual behavior remains unchanged. So, the question becomes, did hashtag wash the dubba actually work? The answer, according to third-party evaluation, is a resounding yes. 40% of Bangalore's respondents could recall the campaign without prompting. Now, that's remarkable for any public awareness initiative. Most campaigns are lucky to achieve recognition when people are specifically asked about them. Unprompted recall at that level indicates genuine cultural impact. More importantly, 60% of those who recalled the campaign reported changing their behavior, actually washing their containers before disposal. Now, that's not just awareness, that's action. Isn't that the whole point? The campaign reached an estimated 3.2 million people across Bangalore. And importantly, this reach translated into tangible improvements on the ground. The waste pickers themselves confirmed it. They reported a noticeable improvement in the cleanliness of containers arriving at collection centers. The daily assault on their senses diminished. Their working conditions improved. The simple ask they had made, please rinse the containers, was being honored by a growing portion of the population. Mary, the waste picker we heard from earlier, shared something that captures the human dimension of this success. She said that people now bring newspapers with her photo to dry waste collection centers. They recognize her. They see her. She's no longer invisible. The campaign received recognition beyond Bangalore as well. At the Anthem Awards, which the New York Times has described as the internet's highest honor for purpose-driven campaigns, hashtag #WashTheDubba won gold in the sustainability, environment, and diversity category, along with silver in diversity, equity, and inclusion. Kudos. Now, these accolades matter not just because awards are the goal, but because they amplify the message. They draw attention to a model that works, a model that can be replicated in cities around the world facing similar challenges. So, what can we take from this story? What does the success of hashtag #WashTheDubba tell us about how change actually happens? I think there are several lessons worth carrying forward here. The first is about listening. The campaign worked because it started by asking the right people the right questions. The solution didn't come from outside experts imposing their ideas. It came from the community most affected by the problem. This is a principle that applies far beyond waste management. Whether we are addressing workplace challenges, community issues, or global problems, the people closest to the situation often have the clearest understanding of what's needed. Second, the second lesson is about simplicity. The ask was not complicated. It didn't require special equipment, significant expense, or dramatic lifestyle changes. It just required 20 seconds and a sink. Effective behavior change often hinges on reducing friction, on making the desired action so easy that there is almost no excuse to do it. The third lesson is about dignity. The campaign succeeded partly because it reframed the relationship between consumers and waste pickers. It wasn't just about doing good deeds for unfortunate people. No, it was about mutual respect, about recognizing that our convenience creates obligations, about participating fairly in a shared system. When we frame sustainability as an act of respect rather than charity, it becomes something people can feel genuinely good about rather than vaguely guilty about. The fourth lesson here is about visibility. Mary's observation that people now recognize her from the campaign. So much injustice persists because it's invisible. We don't see the consequences of our actions. We don't know the people affected by our choices. When campaigns make the invisible visible, when they put human faces on abstract problems, they create the conditions for empathy and change. Here's what I keep coming back to. We live in an era that can feel overwhelming. Social inequality, political division, the problems seem so massive, so complex, so beyond our individual capacity to address. It honestly can feel powerless. It's easy to disengage, to tell ourselves that nothing we do matters at the scale these challenges require. The hashtag #WashTheDubba campaign is a direct rebuttal to that paralysis. It proves that small actions, multiplied across a population, creates significant change. It demonstrates that individual behavior, when channeled thoughtfully, can transform systems. It shows that the biggest impacts sometimes come from the smallest gestures. Like rinsing a plastic container is not going to solve climate change on its own, but it keeps plastic in circulation rather than in landfills. It protects workers from daily health hazards. It shifts cultural norms around responsibility and respect. And most importantly, it reminds us that we are not helpless. We are participants in systems that respond to our choices. So the next time you finish a meal from a delivery container, you and I have a choice. You can toss it in the bin with the sauce still clinging to the sides, as most of us have done countless times. Or you can still take 20 seconds to empty it, rinse it, and let it dry. 20 seconds. That's all it takes to be part of something meaningful. The waste pickers of Bangalore asked for partnership. They asked to be met halfway. And in city after city, we have the responsibility to answer that call. Not because we have to, not because someone is watching, but because it's the right thing to do. Because dignity matters. Because our planet matters. Because the people who handle what we throw away definitely matter. So remember, wash the dubba. It's such a small thing and it changes everything. All right, before I let you go, I have a small ask. And I promise it takes even less than 20 seconds. If this story moved you the way it moved me, I'd love for you to share it. Send this episode to a friend. Post it on your socials. Drop it in that family group chat where everyone argues about everything. Because this is something we can all agree on. Sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is simply pass along an idea worth spreading. And if you haven't already, hit that follow button wherever you're listening. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube, Amazon, Alexa, yeah, wherever you get your shows. Every follow helps this podcast reach more people. And honestly, it means the world to me knowing you're part of this community. Thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you for listening with an open heart. And thank you for believing, like I do, that ordinary people doing ordinary things with a little more intention can change the world. I'm Nelson John, and you were listening to the Nelson John 360 podcast. Stay curious, stay kind, and I'll catch you in the next one.